Today we celebrate a feast that has become perhaps one of the most important in the church year. That is the Feast of Divine Mercy. It's interesting when we look at Scripture, we hear many, many times about the mercy of God. And yet it is only in our day that God has determined that we need to have a feast. We have to ask ourselves why. In other words, if people throughout the last 2,000 years have believed in the mercy of God, why suddenly in our day do we need to celebrate this in a different way? I think that there are two reasons as we look around what's going on in society right now. We have people falling off the end on both sides. On the one hand, we have a false sense of mercy, and that is essentially that God doesn't really care about our sins. He just loves us anyway, and everybody's going to heaven. Well, that's completely false. Yeah, God loves us anyway, but remember that no one can go to heaven if they're in the state of mortal sin. If there is a mortal sin on your soul when you die, you cannot go to heaven. So this nonsense that everyone goes to heaven is completely against everything the church has ever taught, and it is against everything that we read in sacred scripture. But then perhaps the bigger problem that we have right now is lots of people who don't really believe in God's mercy. My sins, they say, are so big that God can't forgive me. Think about what that says. That we can actually do something bigger than God. God is infinite. God's mercy is infinite. Compared to God, who is infinite, we are tiny. Less than a speck of dust. And we think that we, smaller than a speck of dust compared to God, can actually do something bigger than God? Wow. It is not possible. There is absolutely nothing that we can do that God cannot forgive. But we cannot receive his forgiveness unless we are willing to open our hearts to do so. So when we look at that picture of divine mercy, it's interesting that Jesus didn't put anything on there about his mercy. All he wrote was, "Jesus, I trust in you." That is what's necessary. In order to receive his mercy, we have to make ourselves vulnerable. We have to open our hearts. And so we have to trust him that he's not going to hurt us. We know in our heads that he's not going to hurt us, but in our hearts where the woundedness is, that's where we're very much afraid. And so he asks that we would trust. He asks that we would open our hearts. Remember, God will never, ever, ever force anything on you. He will offer you his mercy. But we have to open our hearts to receive it. That's why that point of trust is so necessary. So when we look at that mercy, we have to think about a couple of things. First of all, number one, what God is asking of us. He's asking that we would make an act of humility that is about that big. That's all. To have enough humility to get down on our knees and say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned," and to confess our sins. That's all that he's asking. Now, the average confession takes maybe 3 to 4 minutes. So think of the entirety of your life. God is asking that 3 to 4 minutes out of this that you would actually confess your sins and be forgiven. He's not asking anything too huge. He'll do the rest. Remember, he is the father in the story of the prodigal son. When he saw that his son had turned back, he ran out to meet him, hugged him, brought him back in, restored him to the family. Once God sees that we are willing to make that one little tiny act of humility, he will do the rest. We don't need to be afraid. Now we look at going to confession and people think, God's going to be angry at me. No, he's not. Number one, God doesn't have emotions, so he can't be angry at you anyway. But he's overjoyed that you are there. Remember what Jesus said, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 people who had no need to repent. He rejoices. He's not angry. He's not looking to get even with you. He's not trying to do anything to you. He just wants to forgive your sin. Remember the very reason that our Lord came into this world was to take away our sins and to restore us to life. So if that's the reason he came into this world, then he's not going to be angry with us. Now you might think, well, but if I go to confession, you know, the priest is going to be angry. He's going to yell at me. No, the priest isn't there to yell at you. The priest isn't even there to judge you. You've already judged yourself. You wouldn't be in the confessional if you hadn't judged yourself to be a sinner. The priest doesn't need to make a judgment about that. The priest is there to forgive you. He's not there to condemn you. He's not there to yell at you. He is there to bring the mercy of God to your soul. So you needn't be afraid. And once again, you might think, well, if the priest heard my sins, I mean, that's going to curl his hair. What I can tell you honestly is, number one, I cannot think of anything that I have not heard. Anything. Now, I have to admit, there were a few things that I wouldn't ever even imagine that I've heard about. But I haven't heard a single thing new for over 15 years. So whatever it is that you've done, we've heard it, we've dealt with it. You're not going to shock the priest. He's there to forgive you. Now, we also need to be clear about what that forgiveness is. When God forgives your sin, he destroys it. He literally removes it from your soul. It is no longer there. And when you bring your sins to the priest in the confessional, they will never, ever, ever be heard of again. Ever. Even on the day of judgment, anything that has been forgiven in the confessional is gone. You brought it to God. He doesn't have to bring it to you. So this is a win-win deal for us. We don't need to be afraid. But even if we think, oh, but what am I going to do? We have to be, again, find where the truth is in the middle. We've got this false idea of Jesus that, again, he just doesn't care and he's my cute, warm, fuzzy little buddy. It's a bunch of trash. He is God. And yet at the same time, we have to see how he deals with things. First of all, as we hear in the second reading, his closest friend in this world, St. John, the beloved disciple, he sees our Lord. Now, mind you, this is when he's put out on Patmos, so he hasn't seen our Lord since the resurrection, as far as we know. So it's been 40 years, at least, since St. John saw Jesus. But now he sees him in his glory. And he falls flat on his face, as though dead, because he is standing before the glory of God. But then what does Jesus do? St. John says he reached down and touched me and said, "Do not be afraid." We don't have to be afraid because God loves you. That's the piece we need to understand. God loves you. One of the things that I've never quite understood, and I've mentioned it before, and I'll mention it many, many times again, because it is one of the most tragic mysteries in humanity. Why? Why are we so willing to listen to Satan's lies, but we do not want to hear God's truth? Satan is the one telling you God is angry at you. Satan is the one saying, don't confess your sins. Satan is the one saying that you're going to get yelled at. God is angry with you. Satan is the one saying, you're a loser. You're no good. You're worthless. You're unlovable. You can't be forgiven. And we listen to that trash and we believe him. God, on the other hand, says, I love you. God says, you are my own son or daughter. God says, I want to forgive your sins. God says, you have immense dignity. And we don't want to believe him. Scripture says God cannot lie. God is truth. He is truth, absolute truth. He cannot lie. He cannot deceive or be deceived. So when God says something, it is truth. And it cannot be anything other. And yet, for whatever reason, we keep believing the lie and we keep rejecting the truth. It's time that we tell Satan that no, he's the loser. He's the one who's worthless. He's the one who rejected God, not us. And it's time that we start listening to what God said. Again, what's it say underneath the divine mercy? Jesus, I trust in you. I trust you. You said this. This is the truth. I trust it. That's what we have to be about. We need to tell Satan to get lost. And we need to embrace the truth. That's what we have to be about. So don't be afraid. And so I stand before you today as a priest of Jesus Christ, and I beg you, please, if you are in the state of mortal sin, or if you have not heard the words of absolution for a long time, please come to confession. We have confessions every single day before every single Mass. You have hours every single week that you can come to confession. So don't be afraid. Don't stay away. Jesus wants us to be reconciled with him. He wants more than anything in the world to forgive our sins, because that's why he came into this world. So don't be afraid. And don't stay away, and don't buy the lies. He is asking one little tiny act of humility. He's asking for a few minutes to be able to confess what it is that you've done. He's asking simply that you will open your heart to be able to receive his love and to be able to receive his mercy. That's what he wants to give you. He's not there to condemn you. He's not there to be mean to you. He's not there to beat you up. He is with us to forgive us, to bring us to life. So please avail yourself of that sacrament. And if you have family members or friends who haven't been to confession for a while, please encourage them. Get them back for the sake of their soul. Remember, like I said earlier, if we're in the state of mortal sin when we die, we cannot go to heaven. So why would we delay? If there's something standing between you and God, please bring it to confession. Make that act of humility. Get down on your knees and confess your sins. On this feast of divine mercy, as we beg God for his mercy, we have our little tiny part to do. And that little part is written right under our Lord's feet, to be able to say, Jesus, I trust in you. I trust you to forgive me. I trust you to love me. I trust that what you have taught is the truth. And it is. So now we need to open our hearts and avail ourselves of that mercy and that truth, to trust him, to make that little tiny act of humility, to confess our sins, and to be restored to union with Almighty God.